Welcome to the New Doctoral Student Consortium, or NDSC, podcast. Today, I am excited to welcome some special guests who are here to talk about one of NDSC's sponsors, the Organization and Management Theory Division, or OMT. With me today are Dr. Wendy Smith, the Dana J. Johnson Professor of Management at the University of Delaware and Program Chair for the OMT Division. Dr. Ilaria Orlandi, an assistant professor in the Department of Strategy and Innovation at Copenhagen Business School, and Dr. Emily Block, the George M. Cormie Chair in Management and Associate Professor at the Alberta Business School of the University of Alberta. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today. To start, could you talk a little bit about yourselves and your current roles with the OMT division, maybe how long you've been involved with the division?
Well, I can get going. This is Wendy. Samantha, great to be here with you, and thanks for having us. I have been involved with OMT since I was a new doctoral student. So this is poignant for me to think about going back to that moment in my career. I have been involved with a variety of committees. I served OMT and many of our divisions, as many of your listeners will know, have both a three-year track, a rep-at-large track. We have committees that are invited. We have a three-year track of reps-at-large that are elected. And then we have a five-year track toward our division chair, which is also elected. And so I have served on committees. I have served in the three-year rep-at-large track. I am now in the five-year division track, and this year serving as the division chair. And just so thrilled to be here with you with my friends and colleagues here, Emily and Ila. So Emily, maybe I'll turn it over to you.
Hi, everybody. And thanks, Sam. I'm Emily, and I was originally program chair and I think co-chair of NDSC in a long time ago, like in the early 2000s when I was a PhD student. And I think about all of the people I met through that experience and all of the co-authors that I now have that I met during that time. And it just is such a great, it's such a great organization, and it's such a great service that you provide. And it actually was the inspiration for me of that kind of formed my relationship with OMT, because I really felt like I had a home my first couple of years being involved with NDSC. And once you kind of roll out of that, you're like, okay, I need a new home. And that was, for me, OMT. I felt like that was a place where I could spend my time. And I've been, played a bunch of roles at OMT, largely in kind of the people and culture space. We're creating off-program stuff. And now I'm a third year rep. I'm going into my third year. And so someday, perhaps I will do the five-year track, and just want to extend my time with OMT for as long as possible.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sam, for having us today. And thank you all for listening. I'm so excited about being here with y'all. My role currently at OMT is being membership outreach chair for all the conference activities. So I organize a lot of exciting events thanks to the inputs of all OMT members and also non-OMT members that plan to have some fun activities to connect with others at the academy and in the days around the academy. And my involvement with the OMT actually started when I was a doctoral student. And listening to y'all, I was thinking about my involvement with NDSC. And so far, it's only been as an attendee, even before I started my PhD, my very first day before my PhD program. And I remember it as a very nice opportunity and place to get to know fellow PhDs, indeed, or PhDs to be in the process and now being co-authors or friend reviewers throughout the overall process. And going to these events, including this amazing event that opened up my doors to AM, and I remember it with a great joy and what puts a smile on my face. It's also my very first OMT meeting that I attended at the conference. And that's where I entered and I realized that there were a lot of friends in the room. And that's what got me excited to then also during my doctoral studies, decide to organize some off-program events like OMT Eats, but also start volunteering whenever there was somebody needing for some help, like distributing tickets or helping out with some technical matters or practical matters to say, of course, you can count on me. So please reach out. So this has been so far my involvement with OMT, and I'm so excited about being here.
Wonderful. Thank you. It sounds like we've got a star-studded group that really covers all the areas of OMT that I'm sure new doctoral students could benefit from learning more about. So as all of you know from your involvement with NDSC at various levels, we focus on early stage doctoral students in their first 2 years and occasionally some pre-doctoral students before they've even started. I was not lucky enough to have figured myself out by then, but so we're always looking to highlight resources and opportunities that are available, particularly for these students who are just starting their journeys with AOM and their journeys in their PhD programs. So I guess starting with you, Ilaria, since you connected with OMT as a doctoral student, could you talk a bit about how doctoral students get involved with divisions in general and with OMT, and how that early experience kind of shaped your development as a researcher?
Absolutely. So I feel like there are many ways to get involved, and probably now thinking back, I did not realize it from the get-go. It's something that it came to my understanding a little later. But it's in practice very easy. So it's a very good question to also share to the many of the listeners that might be excited to indeed get involved in some of the division of how exactly to do that. So one way is for sure to show up at some of the division events. Many divisions have a lot of events already on the first couple of days of the academy. And normally they also have a business meeting with a potential social thereafter. OMT has all of these events organized. And I organize a few more social events in my role of membership outreach here at the conference. And so the first tip or way in which people can, so early stage PhDs can get involved with the division is by joining these events and start talking to the people there. Normally, this would give easy access to members, and then started asking questions to, okay, if I want to get involved, I would like to help out. How do you think I could do that? And my experience at OMT has been being welcomed with open doors, and everybody saying, oh, if you want to help out, you know, you should talk to this person or that person and get introduced right away. So it's quite a low bar. And it's very easy to get involved.
If I could jump in, one of the coolest things I think about OMT is that our programming is like not our regular programming, but our off programming, our experiential programming is all ground up. And so instead of having a committee say, here are the 10 activities we're going to do for next year on our off program, what we do is we put a call out to people who saying, would you like to do something for OMT? And the philosophy is like, hey, me and my friends are going for dim sum on a day during Academy. Wouldn't it be cool if we opened that up and invited OMT people to see if they wanted to join us? And that's all designed both to give people who are new to OMT an opportunity to join in with groups of friends who are doing things. But also, if you and a friend want to do something for OMT and you're willing to meet other people, just throw it on our schedule. And I think we've kind of designed our community engagement to be really low bar. Like, we don't need you to be a chair of this or member of this committee to run an OMT off program activity. All we need you to do is put up your hand and say, I'll find a cafe, I'll make the reservation, and we'll advertise it for you. And it happens.
That's actually exactly how I got involved. I remember seeing this call. It was probably back in 2019, if memory serves me right. And AIM was going to be in Boston. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a fellow doctoral student, about this email that I got. Oh, we can organize this activity like OMT Cafe or OMT Eats. It's like, I'm a bit of a foodie. I love eating. So I was like checking out what are the most typical dishes in Boston. I was like, oh, lobster rolls. Why don't we go and get a lobster roll? Oh, why don't we invite others to also get lobster roll? And that's how I co-organized with this friend and a fellow PhD, my very first OMT Eats. That's how it was so easy as that.
Very
as
cool. As that. So putting myself in the shoes of myself when I was in my first year or two, I would have no idea what you're talking about. So can you tell me a little bit more? What do you mean by off programming? What is that? And why should people get involved in those kinds of things outside of the formal programming?
So we have a website called omtfun.com. And that is where we advertise opportunities for our members to, you know, sometimes I love conferences, but when you're, sometimes it's just too loud or too inside or too busy, or you don't know anybody. And what we really wanted to do was create opportunities for people to connect outside of the conference. And instead of creating a bunch of events, we just kind of did this bubble up event, and you can go to OMT Fun and we have yoga, running, we have OMT cafes, which are topic based. Like we have, Wendy runs this Paradox Cafe that has many years running, you know, we have trips to museums and we've done service projects in the past. And it's really just an opportunity for drop in OMT members. Like if you have a half an hour, feel free to drop in. Or if you would like to meet people in a more intimate setting, come on over. And that's been kind of, I think for a couple of years, for about but maybe 10 years, that's been a big part of our offerings as a division, not just the stuff we do on the program, but all the things we do off the program.
Yeah. Samantha, the off-program events, OMT was, if not the first, one of the first, if not the first, to think, to realize and start creating this off-program. And it was about 10 years ago. And as Emily said, I mean, I remember my very first academy. And one of the things about academy is that it's kind of like stepping into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. There's so much good stuff and you have no idea where to start, and it's totally overwhelming. And so you're navigating this, like, where do I, and sometimes you end up just sticking in your room because it's so hard to figure out how to get over to the candy canes or chocolate fountain and how to get involved. And what OMT realized was that getting involved with the formal things at Academy can be a bit of a high bar. You walk in, if you're going to go to a social by yourself or even with one or two other doctoral students, like you just don't know where to start or how to connect. And so there was all this time or white space with an opportunity for connection that didn't necessarily mean that have to be around a paper or have to be around an event, where you could just connect with people at a real level. So that's where the idea came from. And I'll give Emily a tremendous amount of credit for figuring out that what we needed to do was just to be the hub of organization and communication. We just had to be the ones to say, hey, you want to do it? We'll put it on the calendar and we'll get it out to people. And great, come on along and go for a run with five people and get to meet them more intimately. Or as you know, go for lobster rolls with a couple of people and get to connect. And it's an entry point into connecting with people. Because what we know at OMT and what we really pride ourselves on is that as much as we are a rigorous intellectual community of people doing great scholarship, we are also a community of people connecting with each other. And that's what we want to do. And here, you know, I'll give Ela credit because Ela has taken this and run with it and expanded it. And so really, like, the bar is if you want to join an event, go to the website OMT Fun. at, you know, before the next academy, and you'll see what's there. And if you want to run an event, you just shoot Ela a quick note and say, hey, a quick email and say, hey, I'm interested in getting a group of people together to, you know, go sailing or to go for a walk in Philadelphia around the Betsy Ross house, because I really, or the Liberty Bell, and there you go. And so really, it's just a low bar entry point into connecting with people that make the academy really worthwhile.
And it comes from my general philosophy. Like, I crave social interaction, but I'm also have a tiny bit of anxiety in new places. And so I don't ever want to go to a party. I want to host a party like that. I want to be able to have dishes. I want to have responsibilities, right? I want to be able to do something that gives me a job while also having the benefits of social interaction. And so I think that the idea of organizing something, even a little thing, is a great way to give yourself a purpose rather than just showing up at an event and being like, all right, I'm looking around, you know, I don't know anybody at a party. I start like putting the coats away or cleaning up, right? Just because it makes me feel like I have purpose. And we want to give people opportunities to do that in a more meaningful way.
You know, Samantha, I want to add one thing. I remember a while back, Emily and I having a conversation and, you know, just noticing how many people, because Academy is so big, with so much opportunity, ironically, you can get lost and not connect to that opportunity. And I remember Emily and I talking a couple of years ago and just remembering how often people just kind of hide out in their room because it's so overwhelming. Our goal at OMT at Academy, and by the way, this is just the things we do at Academy, is to create the conditions where people can step outside their room and feel like they belong and can connect with people. That's our whole goal there.
I love that. And I can absolutely understand what Emily was describing, because yes, I enjoy everything more if I'm part of organizing it or have some sort of role. That's how I ended up on the NDSC Executive Committee, because then all of AOM gets a little bit of the I'm here legitimately feel, because I'm like, but I organized an event. Yes, it was the first day and then it was over, but like I had a role. So yeah, I love that. I think it's great that you can put anything on. If anyone listening is like, I have no idea what to propose, going with Ela's idea around the lobster roll. Philly is known for cheesesteak. Mm-hmm. You could do a cheesesteak off, organize two different things, be like, we're going to eat at this one and then this one and see which is better. I personally don't.
Samantha, I just want to say, living in Philly, if anybody needs to know where the two places to go for cheesesteak are, I, the vegan, will tell them exactly where to go for their cheesesteaks. And if anybody's listening to this after Philadelphia, there are plenty of things to explore in your cities all over, even after the Philadelphia conference. So yes, reach out to us.
Can I also make a note that if you are a OMT observer or adjacent, and this sounds really fun to you, but you're like, I'm not part of an OMT, so it feels weird, do something. We host cross-division cafes. So find an OMT friend and be like, I'm OMT and you're HR, or vice versa. And we would like to run a cross-division mixer, and bring your division. If your division doesn't have the infrastructure for that, then bring it to OMT. If your division does have the infrastructure, create a cross-division mixer and build it through both of them. So we want to be an inclusive space where we can not only work together, but we can create opportunities for connections with other divisions.
Absolutely. And we've been doing this for years. Also with the auto division, just in the last academy with the SIM, we also do a lot of events with the SAP and auto divisions throughout the year, just to name a few. So we're absolutely always very happy to meet anybody from auto divisions and to bridge anybody in any divisions together.
There might be a question out there like, what is OMT? And very why fun. OMT? And I just want to say, the other day I was on the phone with my mom and she was all proud of the fact that I am division chair, having no idea what it means, but you know, that's what moms are for. And then she asked me to describe OMT and I was like, and it really forced me to put a bit of a sharper articulation on this, because the truth is that the organizations and management theory division could be the whole academy. I mean, we as an academy study management, we study organizing. So like, what is OMT? What makes us different? What and why should somebody connect with OMT? And I just want to offer up a couple quick thoughts on that and then turn it over to why, you know, what we do both beyond academy. At OMT, we in the most, as we think about the research community, we are a community of people that study organizations, organizing, management at all levels. We study this at the organizational level. We explore agency and the individual level. We certainly explore the systemic field level, grand challenges, and the interactions between those. We do a lot of qualitative research, but also a lot of quantitative research. If your listeners are hearing this, they might hear, gosh, that's like what I do, or that is you know, what we could do, as I said, across the whole academy. So we think about it this way. Number one, we are the main division for people who study organizing. Number two, we like to think of ourselves theoretically as everybody's at least second division. Ironically, as a community of scholars, we are the only division with the word theory in our name. And so, you know, at the very least, we want to be the home for everybody's second division. But number three, I think, and I'm so glad that this is that we started with the first conversation about the community at OMT, because I think that the number three thing I would say about why be engaged with OMT, either as your first or second division, is that we do think deeply about being a community of inclusive scholars where people belong. And the reason I got involved in OMT was because of the people. The reason what we are creating or working toward is creating a community where people can feel like they are connected with cool, interesting, thoughtful, wise, and also kind, engaging people. So that's what I would say about like who we are and why get involved, both during the conference and year round. And I don't know, Emily or Ela, if you would, how you might add to that.
Hopefully second what you just said, Wendy, and I'm sure whatever you will also say, Emily, in a bit. I feel like OMT is really a welcoming place as a doctoral student or any other level that you might be at in your academic career. And that's something that I've perceived since the very first time I joined an OMT event. And that has been always the case and has always been growing my love and affection towards OMT and its members and the many friends that are part of OMT. So.
Yeah, I think what distinguishes us is we're a really member-centric organization. There are lots of divisions, I think, that might focus on their executive and their administration more. I feel like we are a ground-up, endogenous kind of movement of humans kind of trying to support each other. And as members of the executive, we serve our members. And that's really always central in our minds when we're thinking about how to approach. So, for example, we've provided scholarships for underrepresented students from underrepresented schools to come to OMT. We have consortia not only for just the doctoral students and the junior faculty, but international consortia, early career scholars, first time at the academy scholars. So we really try and create a space where people can begin to feel comfortable, because if you can do that, you can find a home and find a couple of people that really provides you the basis for which you can navigate not only the academy specifically in the conference, but the academy writ large, right? The profession is all relational. And so we hope to kind of facilitate these bonds emerging, because we know how vital they are to kind of developing great scholarship and keeping people healthy throughout their whole career.
I love that.
And if I can just add to that is indeed the combination of what Wendy was just saying about, you know, we're really open to a lot of topics, we take our work seriously, but there is also the community element and thinking about each other as friends, as colleagues, and as individuals. So combining the if you wish, the two sides, not only the work, but also the life aspect in our community, making it the place to be for us.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great description of the division and of a division that would be a useful place for early stage doctoral students in particular, because AOM is massive and it can be overwhelming. But if you're in AOM, then what you study is relevant to OMT. So when choosing divisions, it's helpful to find somewhere where you can make that scholarly community a little bit smaller, so that it's less overwhelming and intimidating. When you're first starting and feel like you know nothing, you are nothing. What is happening?
Samantha, yes, I want to say you know something and we want to learn from you. You are valuable. I mean, good for you for doing your PhD. And I think what we're highlighting here, and I'm so glad you're highlighting this, is that you think, you know, I think that as new doctoral students, you should be shopping around. I mean, that's what you should be doing. And I remember the reason I'm an OMT is because my advisor was an OMT. So I just landed in OMT, you know, I think that the thing to think about as you join with academic communities is, are there other people that I can talk to about my intellectual work? And to your point, for new doctoral students, we talk theory. So that could be institutional theory or identity or paradox theory or categories, but it also could be, how do you theorize? And we have lots of people theorizing about inequality, about diversity, equity, and inclusion, about grand challenges. We have people theorizing about teams and about social networks. I mean, so it's a great place to have a little candy store of your theories, you know, and then it's also a great place because if you're going to show up at Academy and you're overwhelmed and you're not sure where to connect in personally, it's a great place to show up. And my hope is anybody that ends up at an OMT event will indeed feel like the people there help them see that they belong, that they want to help and support and honor new doctoral students coming into the field as the critical future of our field and help them feel like they belong.
Yeah. And certainly in our program, in your first few years, learning about the wide variety of theories in our field is critical, particularly if you would like to pass your comprehensive exams. So getting exposure to these theories and the people who study them can only help in that sense, from a practical perspective.
Yeah. And then there's all the stuff that Ela's doing and our team is doing during the year too.
Yeah.
I think a really good segue.
Exactly, because there are lots of opportunities, one of which is the OMT meetups. That is one of these events that is taking place all year round. So we have throughout the year several calls. They are normally posted in an OMT list server, if the word and the term is still the same. So, which is a very low bar to join, to just make sure that all our listeners might also be getting emails from the OMT community. And then there are calls where it's very easy. You need to sign up, and then you have with a few personal information, and then you have a very long list of potential mentors that you might be matched with. And in order to be matched, you also need to select a few keywords. Some could be related to theory, some could be related to methods, maybe a combination, maybe it's more about the phenomenon of interest. And this would give all new doctoral students and early stage doctoral students the opportunity to have several meetings of half an hour with a more seasoned scholar to get to talk about any topic that they might want to sort of pick somebody's brain about. And it's also something that I must say I've experienced as a doctoral student. I truly enjoy it. It was such a low bar to meet, you know, my reference list even at times with and get to chat with them about any questions about the PhD trajectory or maybe a question about a paper or something that I was struggling with at that point in time. And I noticed how easy it was to talk with the senior scholars in the field. And so it's definitely something that if anybody's interested, would mean meeting other scholars, more senior scholar, that's how the matching is done, the pairing, then it's something to keep an eye out. And it's done a few times throughout the year. And as of last year, so last academy, just a couple of months back, we also introduced our very first OMT meetup in person. So we had an event at the academy for all those that attended any of the past edition of the OMT meetups. If memory serves me right, we're already over the 8th edition. I hope I'm saying it correctly. And to get to meet their mentors face-to-face, maybe for the first time, maybe to re-meet them, but also to meet anybody else, maybe other mentees or new possible mentees and mentors in the process. And we had a fun activity in the meantime. So this is one of the activities that we have, the OMT meetups.
Samantha, sort of shine a light on what Ila just said and highlight it, because these meetups, they emerged again, like it was sort of, what are the problems that people are experiencing? What are the, or pain points, maybe not problems, and how can we solve it? And one of the things that we experienced in our own doctoral student days, and that we heard from junior faculty doctoral students was that they value connecting with senior colleagues, and it was hard to find a pathway to do that. So again, this was a really low cost thing that we could offer by being we see ourselves as the connectors, as the bridge. And so the meetups are exactly that. You raise your hand as a doctoral student and say, I'm interested. You don't have to be an OMT member. We would love you to be an OMT member, but nobody is checking your membership card. So you just raise your hand. And what that looks like, as Ila said, is that you get onto our social media channels, particularly our LinkedIn channel, where we are most active. We put out a call that says we're going to do a next round of meetups. You email in when they, to whatever the link is that is put into that LinkedIn post. You say, I'm interested. And then a senior person puts their hands up. There's some meeting. And all you are committing to is a half an hour or an hour on Zoom with that senior person. Maybe it's a wasted half an hour, an hour, because the person you didn't totally connect with, but maybe this is the person who's going to give you deep and valuable advice about, your paper, or maybe they're going to give you deep and valuable advice about your love life. Who knows? But they're going to, but you never know. And that's all it. And maybe that's a connection that continues. So it's really low bar. It's really easy to access. And it's in service of, again, trying to find connections, in this case, across levels of senior, junior. And people have really, the person that I connected with, we are still in touch. I have put her in touch with some other colleagues that do work in the area and just expanded her network. And that's the value.
I'm doing work with one of my meetup people. Like, we're accumulating rejections at the moment, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
If I can add to it, because I'm going in as a doctoral student, I thought, oh, there's a senior person, what am I going to talk about? Maybe I have, a few questions prepared. But then what I noticed, it was very easy to talk to any of the mentors that I've had over the years. And then when I started reflecting upon that, I started to realize these people have volunteered their time to get to know a more junior person and to help them out. So their interest, their willingness to help with whichever problems or questions as a junior I had, it truly transpired. It truly came across with they want to help out in whichever topic I might have. They're at a few times of thinking with me along, brainstorming about an idea or how to navigate a certain situation. It was truly, truly helpful. And what I would think back, if I were to be the doctoral student entering in this meeting, I would think, well, these people are interested in me. They're interested in what I'm about to say. And that probably is going to also decrease a bit the potential the nerves that one might have when you're about to meet a senior, maybe one of the people in your reference list, as I was saying. So it's really a pleasant, very pleasant experience, very low bar, a very easy way to meet a person. So not just the scholar, but also the person in the process.
Yeah, and I think you said something really important there around reducing the nerves. Because I think it also could be a really valuable way to get experience talking with senior scholars and recognizing that they are also regular humans, to reduce some of the nerves when you then are meeting people in person at Academy. Because I know a lot of students that come to NDSC, that's one of the things they express is that they'll see someone they want to talk to, but they don't know how to approach them. They seem, you know, God tier academic, like, how do I... They publish so many things that I've read. What do I do? And this seems like it could be a way to kind of practice, build those skills, stretch that muscle so that by the time you are at AOM, you already have a certain level of comfort with talking to senior scholars.
Samantha, here's another benefit. If you connect with some of these mentors over the year, a mentor or two mentors, and you really connect, what you can then do is, instead of you having to approach that godlike, and I totally remember this. Like, I remember being at parties and there would be like three of us doctoral students and we're like, okay, who's going to go over and talk to? And I can name the names of who we wanted to go and talk to, but I remember the anxiety, right? But instead of having to do that, one of the benefits of the mentoring experience is that if you really connect, you can say, and by the way, Emily is probably the best at this, is Emily Block, I'd really love to meet Ela. Could you introduce me? And then it's a warm introduction instead of this like, oh, I'm standing at the edge of the party and wondering if I should go approach that person experience. And then Emily just walks you over to Ela and says, can I introduce you to Ela? And it's a much better, it is a warm connection in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great.
Your job. I think that's my job. Whenever I meet anybody at a conference, the first thing I say to them is, okay, who can I help you meet? Who would you like to meet? Because that's the best way you can kind of, it's a mitzvah for somebody, right? Like to be like, how can I leverage my social capital and transfer it to you?
Well, before we leave the conversation about getting involved, I do want to put a pin in or just invite new doctoral students and in terms of the pathway of getting involved in OMT at Academy, I want to just name two things. For early PhD students, we run, and Ela has been running this, a meet and greet welcome event just to get new and old people together. We also run a by application navigating the first years of your PhD, which is if you are truly a new doctoral student, that is your first entry point. It is a high touch after, it's by application, it's a high touch afternoon in that you get a little bit of a welcome to the division, but then mostly you get one-on-one or two or three on one doctoral students with senior faculty connections. It's one afternoon, and that is and we've been running that for years, and it is, we have 50 or 60 people. We just keep expanding. It's a great entry point in at Academy. And then for later stage doctoral students, so as you, and by the way, that happens quickly. You move from early to later, I know, but it's, you do.
A blink,
right, exactly. Our doctoral student consortium, many divisions have them. We have our doctoral student consortium. It's a full day. Typically, we do an evening activity on Thursday night, an evening dinner or drinks, and then we do a full day. Again, high touch panels about professional development, connections with senior faculty about your papers and your ideas. And one of the great things about being a doctoral student is that you can go to several of these in different divisions, and it gives you a sense of the division from the inside. You get to kind of try on, it's like your dressing room. You get to try on the division in these ways. You get to connect with other colleagues and who are doctoral students. So then we progress from there. We also, because we think very deeply about how to support people at different stages of their career, then we have been institutionalizing once you blink and get to toward the end of your doctoral career, we've been institutionalizing a webinar for people interested in postdocs. During the year, we then have our junior faculty consortium, and we're starting to play around with PDWs for mid-career post-junior faculty. So I just want to say that we have that career progression set of activities to help people get involved. And truly for the newest of new doctoral students, like this is your first academy, navigating the first years of your dissertation is the place to go. And that will be, again, advertised on our social media channels because you have to apply sometime in the spring to get involved.
That's great. I think it's really important for students to start thinking now about the kind of events that they would want to attend in their first couple of AOMs, because yes, a lot of them do require applications or registrations. And if you just wing it when you show up, you're going to miss out on some really great opportunities that totally could really help you. So
yeah, love that. If you are not, I know people, this is a cross academy, right? You, at very beginning of your career, if you're going to put in a proposal for a paper, if you're going to submit a paper, submit a panel, submit a symposium, you got to start thinking about that in the fall of your very first year, because those are due in January. But even without submitting that, if you want to start thinking about getting involved in some of these professional development workshops, PDWs that happen pre-conference, That you got to start thinking about in the spring, because those applications start coming out in March. And then if you miss all of that, then you can email Ela and say, let me organize lobster rolls or cheesesteaks.
Yes.
Any combination of the above is also possible. So keep on emailing me, please.
Love it.
Samantha, I just want to note here that what a fantastic, I mean, I'm so lucky to be here with Emily and Ela and be on a board with them. We like men too, just saying. This is a division that likes and values our male colleagues. We like and value our colleagues who are people of color. The fact that you have three white women on this conversation is not indicative of how we think about our division. I know I'm talking to someone who studies DEI, so I want to just name that and call it out.
I appreciate that. Yes, this is a very white woman podcast episode, but so goes at times.
And to be clear, naming and calling out to you who studies DEI, not to myself.
Yes, all are welcome at the OMT division and, of course, at the NDSC. Yes. Well, you have to be a PhD student. If you are not a student or going to become a student, if you already have your PhD, you know, you are welcome to come speak on a panel at NDSC. But we like our attendees to be students.
Samantha, I want to add one other thing. You know, as you come in as a student and feel so, well, let me take a step back. My dissertation very much built on the idea, it was focused on innovation and the tension between exploration and exploitation, the old and the new. And when you come in as a PhD student, you sort of feel like there's such a big world to learn out there and you know nothing. And I just want to name for the doctoral students or pre-doctoral students listening to this, our world is changing so fast. There is so much shift and change. And I want to honor and value the experience, the expertise, the life moments, the real world experiences that make doctoral students such a source of ideas and value to not just learn from. There's so much to learn, but to also teach to our field. And I'm just grateful every time I get to connect with doctoral students, and just want to say thank you to the doctoral students that raise their hand and say, look, I get it. I'm not just learning from you, but I am here to help you learn as well.
I think that's great. Yeah, the world is changing incredibly quickly. I think there's a lot to learn and to teach as things shift.
Mm-hmm.
A simple question that's not as simple as it sounds to end the call is, what is one word you would use to describe OMT?
Home.
Nice.
Ela?
Aria?
Home has been taken, so I can't choose home again. To me, it's community.
Yeah, I'll add to their home and community and say rich intellectual connections.
Wonderful. I think that sounds lovely. Thank you to all of you for coming on this podcast and to OMT as a division for sponsoring NDSC. We're very grateful for that sponsorship and partnership with this division.